This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 15th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a look back at the plagiarism allegations against the president of Southern Illinois University and why some academics are concerned that he'll be able to keep his job after the investigation. We'll also get a forecast for the week ahead with AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. The Illinois General Assembly has finished its annual veto session last week, but as Amanda Vinicky reports, they left plenty of loose ends.
A litany of matters are unresolved.
We haven't taken care of education funding. We haven't taken care of transportation and capital bills. Boy, there's so much left undone.
That's Democratic State Representative Jack Franks. He says the gridlock's due to the governor and legislative leaders' failure to reach compromise. They aren't even talking.
It's politics at its worst. It's not about policy. It's about ego. And everyone is suffering as a result. I'm from Woodstock, and we filmed Groundhog Day there. And it feels a lot like Groundhog Day down here. We're endlessly repeating the same process, hoping for a different result.
It's likely lawmakers will be called back in the next few weeks to try again. Schools say they need budget matters settled by the beginning of November. That's also when the Chicago Transit Authority has said it will eliminate routes and raise fares unless the legislature provides a bailout. Lawmakers are also debating whether or not they should allow new casinos in Illinois in order to pay for a statewide infrastructure program. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The executive director of Illinois' Campaign for Political Reform says Chicago Mayor Richard Daley has remained remarkably quiet when it comes to state budget talks. Cindy Canary says it's a time when the mayor should be drumming up support for items like mass transit instead of proposing a massive tax hike for his city. She says Daley has essentially removed himself from not just what's happening in Springfield, but the state altogether.
He's kind of acting like, well, it's sort of my city. I'm going to succeed from the state of Illinois. You know, it's not going to happen. I have been really hopeful that he would exert more pressure. And I don't know why he's not.
Canary says the mayor shouldn't bother with trying to lure the 2016 Summer Olympic Games if he can't fund the Chicago Transit Authority first. Speaking last week in Urbana, Canary blamed the state budget on a lack of leadership from Governor Blagojevich and legislative leaders. She says Daley has admitted his frustration with the governor to her, but has failed to be the elder statesman that legislators need. A Southern Illinois congressman says he's confident the Marion VA hospital will rebound from the current controversy over its surgical death rate. U.S. Representative Jerry Costello recently met with several VA employees at the Southern Illinois Hospital to discuss the investigation by the Inspector General's office. The Democrat from the Metro East says the sooner the investigation's done and its results shared with the public, the better able the hospital will be to restore confidence in its services.
There are just literally hundreds of thousands of veterans who have received quality health care from this facility over the years. There are excellent employees who work at this facility. We are proud of the work that they do. We're proud of this facility. 99.9% of what they do here is recognized as quality service.
Costello says Congress will make sure the VA is responsive to the recommendations that will be forthcoming in the Inspector General's report. The VA suspended surgeries at the Marion Hospital back in August after an internal review discovered a higher than normal death rate. Regulations for construction near underground pipelines are in the works for Champaign County. The county's Zoning Board of Appeals got their first look at the proposed rules last week. They'd establish buffer zones in which non-agricultural construction in rural areas wouldn't be allowed. Those buffers proposed for natural gas pipelines would follow federal regulations and typically measure about 350 feet or more, with a smaller buffer for pipelines carrying hazardous liquids such as gasoline. But pipeline company representatives didn't care for the buffers at last week's ZBA meeting. Thomas Paracchio manages the People's Gas Manlove underground storage field near Fisher. He says they don't think the federal regulations are meant to apply to nearby landowners.
To the contrary, the federal regulations impose safety requirements on us, the pipeline operators, which Peoples has complied with in the past and that will continue to comply with. We have not and we are not trying to absorb land in any way.
ZBA Chair Deborah Grice says the proposal was just a first draft and would almost certainly be revised when they're brought up again at another meeting in November. One alternative could be simply to require that buyers be notified of the presence of pipelines when they purchase land in rural areas. One of the most visible Native American leaders in the fight over the University of Illinois' Chief Illiniwek has died. Vernon Bellacourt died last week in a Minneapolis hospital. His brother says the 75-year-old Bellacourt came down with pneumonia during a trip to Venezuela last month to discuss heating assistance for Native American communities with President Hugo Chavez. Bellacourt was a vocal opponent of American Indian mascots and nicknames in college and professional sports. He was once arrested outside the stadium of the Cleveland Indians during the 1997 World Series, and he frequently visited Champaign-Urbana to speak out against the Chief Illiniwek symbol, which trustees retired last February. In the 70s, Bellacourt was in the forefront of the American Indian Movement's protests over treaties that Ames said the federal government was not honoring. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Some experts on plagiarism say they're concerned that the president of Southern Illinois University in Carbondale will keep his job. A university committee found that Glenn Pichard had committed plagiarism in his 1984 dissertation, but that the plagiarism was inadvertent. Pichard has to fix the missing and incorrect citations, and he apologized for his mistakes last week. But the experts wonder what message this sends to students about the importance of academic integrity. Illinois Public Radio's Lynette Kalsness reports.
The university committee that investigated the allegations reviewed more than two dozen instances where citations were incorrect, inadequate, or just missing in Glenn Pichard's work. The report says there were many cases in which a reader could not distinguish between Pichard's words and those of his sources, but the committee decided Pichard had committed plagiarism inadvertently. The report says members considered the historical context of the time and found Pichard and some of his fellow students followed a more informal style for citing work.
It wasn't that people were doing the citations. They just weren't doing them correctly or as comprehensively as they probably should have.
SIU professor David Wuerls was on that committee. He says he's proud of their work.
I think this is going to allow us to move far forward and to also raise that bar. I think that SIU is going to be looked at as a standard. This is how things were done at SIU. This is how they approached it, and they did the right thing.
For the committee to give Pichard a wink and a nod, and for Pichard to remain as president of Southern Illinois University, is not just an embarrassment for their university, it's an embarrassment for higher education in Illinois.
Charles Lipson is a political science professor at University of Chicago and an expert on plagiarism. He wrote the book, Doing Honest Work in College. The committee report says Pichard told members he got no guidance from his advisor or dissertation committee about how to cite sources. He also told them he had no intentions of deceiving anyone, but was following common practices in his department. Lipson is skeptical.
If you've been educated in United States schools for over 20 years and don't know that you're supposed to put quotation marks around the words of others when you use them exactly, then you're either too dense or too sloppy to receive a PhD, much less to preside over a major university like Southern Illinois.
He says there's a clearly understood rule that when you use the exact words of others, you have to use quotation marks or indent them, as well as give a citation. Otherwise, the words are considered as your own. He says this is not optional.
There was not a, quote, more relaxed style. This is not casual Friday for scholarship. This is a fundamental understanding that's shared within the academy. It doesn't just involve one university, it involves many universities, and it's been well understood for 75, 80, 90 years.
I think that the demand for serious referencing and citation and so on is just a permanent fixture of the academic life.
Stephen Satras heads the Center for Academic Integrity at Clemson University.
I think it makes it very, very hard for the university to seriously uphold and impose their standards on the students when they don't seem to be doing that for the people at the very top.
But SIU's David Wuerls disagrees.
I think it will send a message to them that, as a student, that they can be subject to the kinds of processes that we put Dr. Prashad through, that regardless if you're the president of the university or you're a student, you'll get the same determination.
Some faculty members are calling for an outside investigation, but Wuerls doesn't think it's necessary. Prashad has vowed to support a comprehensive plagiarism policy. I'm Lynette Kalsnes.
Weather forecast calls for a gradually warming trend, but a chance of showers as well. Our forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser calls for increasing clouds in western Illinois with showers and thunderstorms arriving today. In eastern Illinois, mostly sunny in the morning, then increasing clouds in the afternoon with showers and thunderstorms arriving toward evening. Sunny still in Indiana today. The highs from 64 in far northwest Illinois to 82 in southern Indiana. For tonight in Illinois, cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. In Indiana, mostly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms arriving. Lows from 52 in northwest Illinois to around 60 in the south. For tomorrow, cloudy with scattered showers in Illinois. In Indiana, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms. Highs from around 60 in far northwest Illinois to 75 in the far south. 72 are high for tomorrow in Champaign-Urbana. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, the low of around 50. And then Wednesday, sunny early, then increasing clouds and a high of 76. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 15th. To find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information, go to our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.